All right, so trying something new. So we gotta check, make sure that everything is cooperating. We look to be going rather well. Wonderful. Hello, nerds. Working out technical issues is always a fun thing. So, I'll make it a little bit easier. Sorry, had to adjust the camera, doing the things and the stuff. Checking the chat. Hello, Christopher Ortiz. How are you today, sir? Oh, no, I didn't do that. We're going to have to go find that then. That's what we're going to have to do. Welcome once again to another live episode. Sorry about the delay. Was honestly making dinner and trying to, again, try something new with the setup so that we hopefully will run into less... That's what it was, X-Men 97. Hopefully run into less... technical difficulties this time around, so that the computer's only doing two things instead of three, and that took a little bit longer to set up than anticipated. For those that do not know, if you're listening to this in post or if you're here in chat and I'm just not paying as much attention to chat as I should be right now because I'm looking for something. Doing pretty well, man. Thank you for asking. Trying to find. I didn't have the time like I anticipated, again, because setting this up took a little bit longer, but... Trying to find that... We've got a fair amount of things about that X-Men 97 situation. So we're going to start there. So this is recommendation from one Chris Ortiz. X-Men 97, a couple of things have come to light recently that for whatever reason did not find their way through to... CBR. Wow, I missed... Oh, because it was from yesterday on CBR. That's why. All right, so we have a couple of things that like I said, we're starting with X-Men 97, the animated series that is headed to Disney Plus. That is a continuation of the 90s cartoon that most of us millennials loved. So first and foremost, according to Cosmic Circus, so we're on CBR, generally speaking, as evidenced by the video that went up on the Clips channel today, don't usually use CBR until like I've exhausted all my other stuff and I feel like I don't have enough quality or quantity for an episode. So, but this comes from CBR, according to Cosmic Circus. So they're quoting somebody else. So we're tertiary information at this point, and I apologize for that because, again, this somehow slipped through the cracks. Marvel's On Your Mark Productions LLC is using the name Teen Spirit as a working title for a project which may be X-Men 97. The name itself is a nod. Oh, I am totally not on the right... Are we still on the... Yeah, we're still on the goofy camera. Let's switch here, and then we're going to go read this in this window. There we go. Sorry about that. Teen Spirit, which is... Itself is a Nuts and Nirvana Smells Like Teen Spirit song from 92. Been previously used as a working title for Dark Phoenix, giving it an older connection to the Children of the Atom. Plot details for the series are currently under wraps. Head writer Bo DeMeo, who also worked on fellow Disney Plus project Moon Knight, explained helming the X-Men-related project was important. X-Men means something to a lot of people. Yeah, so don't screw it up. Blah, blah, blah. Discussed whether or not the project will be canon's Marvel Cinematic Universe, commenting, "The one thing I can say towards X-Men 97 and the MCU is I know sometimes we say no comment, and it's like they're just being obstinate. I'm going to go with no comment here because part of the surprise will be finding that out when you experience the show." Oh, that's interesting. I'm going to go with it's a different universe in the cinematic universe, but still kind of related, kind of. But that is not actually what I was specifically looking for, because Mr. Chris Ortiz, once again, has come through with a little bit of a lead. The show is reportedly going to be about saving Jubilee. I can speak. It's going to be like a video game where you can pick your own character. That's the part that I was trying to figure out. So, CBR, the direct from forever ago. All right, so let's just do it this way. Chris, where did you hear that it was going to be about saving Jubilee and that there was going to be a pick your character kind of way to view it? Because I think that is super interesting. And I'm actually going to pin your comment while I'm reading it. But that being said, again, delay is a thing. So we're going to go to our regular starting point for the episode. And that is cosmicbook.com. So the Flash. Oh, we've got a couple of things to do with the Flash, I would imagine. Secret Wars, Ezra Miller. Yeah, okay. Huge flop. All right, so we've got a couple of things to go through before we have exhausted Cosmic Book this week. I will be flipping back and forth between reading and the chat. So it's probably going to feel a little disjointed for a moment, and I apologize. Oh, there we go. One of the episodes will be about saving Jubilee. That's what I've heard. Heard it on TikTok. Oh, okay. So, according to unnamed sources, I guess is where we're going to go with that. We're at least going to get one episode about saving Jubilee, which is kind of how we had the first few episodes in the first season, because she gets kidnapped by the Sentinels when her parents sign her up for the program, blah, 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 blah. So we're starting with The Flash at Cine Europe, showing off with Black Adam, Aquaman 2, and Shazam 2. Oh, what? I didn't realize Shazam 2 was far enough along to be showing off. Don't count The Flash out just yet. As reported, Warner Brothers showed off the flick earlier today at Cine Europe convention, along with Black Adam, Aquaman 2, and Shazam 2. With all the trouble Ezra Miller has been in as of late, there are reports the Flash movie might either get released on HBO Max or even scrapped, and that Miller is done as DC's Scarlet Speedster. But at least for now, it seems the plan is to release The Flash in theaters, as Cine Europe is a convention for cinema exhibitors and their national associations. Nothing new, though, apparently. Deadline does offer three scenes from DC's League of Super Pets, blah. I mean, I'm not to discredit DC's League of Super Pets. That's just not what we're looking for. Black Adam. Oh, that's cool. Black Adam poster. Yeah, all right. So, not as exciting as I had hoped initially, but new Thor, Love and Thunder footage shown off. Kraven, an animal lover, says Taylor Johnson. Yeah, he's a hunter. That usually hunters are animal lovers, in spite of what people want to think. Chris Hemsworth, Chris Pratt, Natalie Portman shown off in Thor, Love and Thunder images. Let's take a look at some images, shall we? She definitely looks bigger. I think so, and I could be wrong, but some of these images that have been released look like there's some CG enhancement on her. It's just too even skin tone. But it's also like it looks like it's from the dailies, so it's not the highest of quality, but let's see if we can... Yeah, see, they cropped in, so that kind of reduces quality. But still, it looks like there has been some CG work done to her body to make her look more buff. I mean, I'm very likely wrong. I'm just looking at a low quality image and going, yeah, that looks like it. So, still pretty cool. Big Marvel plans coming soon, says Feige. I think we're actually... Nah, we're good. Checking. Basically, like the first two episodes, like the original X-Men. Yep. I think the DCEU should just restart their universe. Yo, I am not opposed to that thought. I think I am definitely in agreement with that. Just as a general, just so that we can get a little bit more of a cohesive universe. I think that that is the only cohesive universe that should be done as such, aside from Marvel, obviously, because they're already doing it pretty well. I think that the lesson to be learned from Marvel is not that fans want all of their content to be these giant sprawling universes, but they do want their comic book related to be these giant sprawling universes because that's how comic books work. So when you do a live action iteration of something that is already this thing, then you should echo that in your live action iteration. I think that is a good way to go. And I think there is a possibility. It's obviously not going to be with this movie because Ezra Miller is just bad PR these days. I think that the Flash is a great character to do a reboot with. As moderately good as the Aquaman movie, the first Aquaman movie was, and the second Aquaman movie probably will be, and as okay as the first Wonder Woman movie was and not so great the second one, I don't think that they should keep Gal Gadot and Jason Momoa in those roles. I think they should cast a little bit younger. That way you can do an actual series of movies that kind of go through these broad strokes of what those, who those characters are and some of their more iconic villains, and that'll get you set up for, you know, a good decade or two worth of movies. So yeah, I think a reboot should be done. I just think they have to be very careful with the reboot for DC because DC has some of the most iconic comic book characters ever. And so far they haven't been able to do very much good with them. So back to Secret Wars, apparently. Kevin Feige reveals that big news for Marvel Cinematic Universe will be coming soon. While speaking with Total Film Magazine about Thor: Love and Thunder, Feige reveals the following. Quote, "As we're nearing the end of Phase 4, I think people will start to see that the next saga is where the next saga is going," confides Feige in the new issue, which hits shelves June 23rd. I think there have been many clues already. they're at least apparent to me of where this whole saga is going, but we'll be a little more direct about that in coming months to set a plan so audiences want to see the bigger picture. That want to see the bigger picture can see a tiny, tiny, tiny bit more of the roadmap. So let's see. Open a new tab. Yeah, let's take a look at this phase four. So far, what we know of phase four. That's all already out. So we have Black Widow, Falcon, Winter Soldier already out. Shang-Chi, Eternals, WandaVision, Doctor Strange. What If? Season 2 has yet to come out. Hawkeye is out. So yeah, everything is already almost out or out as far as what we know from Phase 4. Oh yeah, so Secret Wars is not confirmed yet. You have one of the... Which Secret Wars though, Chris? There have been two different Secret Wars storylines. There was one in the... early 90s and then one in the early 2000s. The one in the early 90s is very likely not going to be referenced in the new movie or series or whatever they end up doing. But probably the one, because the one with the Skrulls is the one from the early 2000s. And that's the one that they seem to be setting up. Again, it has not yet been confirmed 100%. Actually, I'm going to dig a little bit right now because I think there was some sort of... Oh, it was the early teens, maybe? Yeah, the first one was in the 80s, and then the second one was in the teens, not in the aughts. How should we find this? Secret Wars movie, maybe? The Direct, Inverse, Den of Geek... Den of Geek usually has pretty good sources. Nope, that's not it. Games Radar, Movie Web. So they explain Secret Wars. We don't need to explain Secret Wars. Which characters could be involved? Good Lord. No, so yeah, it's not confirmed, sir. So don't get ahead of yourself. It is not 100% confirmed. It is just the most likely scenario. It's very likely going to be the next Infinity Saga that they're setting up for, because we have Skrulls, we have most of the characters that could theoretically be involved as far as who they're working with. And we're also looking at just all of the Disney Plus series seem to be setting that up. So yeah, don't be fooled by the fancy artwork. It is yet to be 100% confirmed. Ezra Miller. All right, so here's the next. Zaslav, however you say it. Say goodbye to Ezra Miller in Deadline's write-up surrounding the Flash movie, which is similar to... Oh, no, this is already what we reported on. It's not... He's not out yet. Zaslav has the final say, and so it kind of depends on a few factors, which is a little silly. He should just be removed, and they should recast the Flash. So here's a fun question. Who would be a good Flash after Ezra Miller has finally received the axe? Secret Wars 006 from 2015. Yeah, so you have the good Secret Wars. I'm not a fan of the first Secret Wars. The first Secret Wars is not terrible, I should qualify, but is not quite as good. I like the Skrull one better. I think the Skrull one is more compelling. I guess let's take a little detour and let's go over... Marvel Database, Secret Wars. We're going to go over the differences between the two Secret Wars stories. Where's search? Right there. Secret Wars. 1984 event. So the 84 event was as such. Oh, come on, computer. You can load faster than that. There we go. First ever company-wide crossover event. So that's noteworthy. First crossover event to include all company properties in the history of comics. Oh, even more noteworthy then. Secret Wars was developed at the request of toy manufacturer Mattel, who wanted to capitalize on the resurgence of popularity of action figure toys in the early 80s and create a new line of toys for popular Marvel characters. The company asked for an editorial concept to be published that tied in with the new toy line and brought all of the characters together. Toy line, blah, 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 blah. Synopsis, that's what we're looking for. Secret Wars event from, again, 1984 began in each individual hero's respective magazines, with all of the chosen heroes feeling called to a massive mechanical ring that mysteriously appeared in Central Park, and that instantly transports them to a location called Battle World. Oh yeah, okay, sorry, I was doing this kind of as a refresher for myself because I couldn't remember the differences. When they step inside, the events of each character being transported from Earth to Battle World are as depicted in these comic books. Amazing Spider-Man, Uncanny X-Men, Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Thing, Thor, Avengers, Captain America, and Fantastic Four. As soon as revealed that a cosmic entity known as the Beyonder, or it is soon rather, and gathered a large assortment of superheroes and supervillains on Battleworld to see who would win in a fight of good against evil. So it was just all the Beyonders doing. And then the 2015 event, again, was the Skrulls. The Skrulls had secretly been replacing superheroes. So this synopsis is significantly more lengthy. We're not going to go through the entirety. But yeah, the Reader's Digest version is... you had Skrulls kind of secretly taking over superhero. Good Lord. This is really long. Superhero personalities, I guess. It also includes Battle World. It also includes a lot of multiverse stuff. So it's the end of one multiverse and then the birth of a new multiverse. And very intense, and like I said, much, much more compelling than the 1984 Secret Wars. So, moving right along, we going to... Let's go to Bounding. We haven't done Bounding on a live stream for a minute, so Bounding into Comics has this to say about the news today. Heather Antos embarrasses IDW Publishing with poor editing job. Uh-oh. Star Trek Mirror War. Uh-oh. Yeah, we'll check it out. Let's check it out. I am a Star Trek fan, after all. So, Star Trek fans are livid with IDW senior editor Heather Antos after the publisher's recent Star Trek The Mirror War Cisco one-shot was released to readers chock full of spelling, storytelling, and continuity errors that should have been caught by someone with an editorial position. Yes, this is true. The plot of the Mirror War miniseries tie-in is simple. In the Mirror Universe, Kira Nerys... Here, the intendant of Tarak Nor and running it on behalf of Cardassian Klingon Alliance sends her love slave Benjamin Sisko on a task to destroy her political rival, Karak Tyr. The issue eventually ends at the beginning of the 23rd episode of Deep Space Nine's second season crossover with the Prime Kira arriving in the Mirror Universe. How I remember that one, actually. It's been so long since I've watched Deep Space in its entirety. I'm actually reworking my way through season one right now. Very slowly, very, very slowly, because there's so much other stuff to watch, you know, like The Orville, of course, and Obi-Wan just finished. I still have to finish those last two episodes of Obi-Wan. and a number of other things. So, and then next week is Stranger Things. Yeah, just got all of the stuff going on. The errors in the book, continuing back with Bounding into Comics, the errors in the book begin with Sisko, who appears to be far younger than how he looked in season two of Deep Space Nine, not to mention how colorist DC Alonso's highlighting of his brown skin looks. Oh, hey, speaking of spelling errors, there's an N in brown, yo. Looks more than rough around the edges. Yeah, that's true. His artistic choices on their own would be forgivable if it weren't for the more egregious problems in the story later. Tybo can be seen just pages later, as during Sisko's first meeting with black market weapons dealer Tisax Reyes. The former refers to Mirror Universe Kira as the Intendant. Clear misspelling of her proper title, the Intendant. Where is it? Oh, right there. The third panel in, second one down on the right. That's funny. You're still human. Unfortunately for author Danny Lohr, and in even further proof Anto's editorial failings, the typo is far from hard to miss. The term is emphasized in bold. The next easily identifiable error, Star Trek fans, Sisko use of gun that shoots bullets rather than the show's hallmark. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's silly. Why would you do that? It's a it's an odd choice. It doesn't fit within Star Trek aesthetic at all. No kidding. Book's continuity then proceeds to get shaky as the mirror Sisko's mind begins to drift. Thoughts of Prime, Deep Space Nine crew. At this point, he still has yet to meet. It's further out that Lieutenant Worf is pictured. The issue is firmly set within Deep Space Nine Season 2, yet the Next Generation transplant did not join Sisko's team until Season 4. Oh boy. That's highly egregious. Ooh. Yeah. yeah, so just the litany of issues with that. And we talked about this book when it was initially announced, I believe. She apparently is a transplant from Marvel and has done Exo Man of War. Interesting. She did Exo and she's slipping up that hard onto, Star Trek. Astro Boy reboot in development. Ooh, hey, let's check this out. Astro Boy is a Japanese cartoon, very similar to what we know Mega Man as. And super interesting. I enjoy Mega Man, and I also very much enjoy Astro Boy. To a lesser degree, I'm a bigger Mega Man guy, which I'm super excited about all the Mega Man stuff that we talked about. That was a couple of months ago now. We haven't really heard much since. It is time for Astro Boy to rocket once more as Osamu Tezuka's iconic creation is reportedly set to receive a brand new animated television reboot focused on modern day issues, courtesy of Miraculous Tales of Ladybug and Cat Noir creator director Thomas Astrick. As first reported by Variety in June 16th exclusive, the return of Astro, or Adam as he is known in the original Japanese, will reportedly comprise of 52 half-hour-long... That's super exciting! 52 half-hour-long episodes, all of which will be rendered via 3D CGI. That's less exciting. French production studio behind Miraculous Ladybug Method Animation. Further, the trade news outlet relayed the reboot's stories will deal with pressing issues facing people today, such as social media, the internet, human-caused environmental damage, so on and so forth. The deal is struck between the aforementioned Method Animation Monaco-based entertainment production company Shibuya Productions, whose most notable credit currently stands the awkward at best video games Shenmue 3 and Twin Mirror. Oh, that's funny. After the two jointly acquired the rights to the Robotic Hero and Tezuka Productions. As of writing, the details of this deal remain undisclosed to the public. Still cool. I don't believe that the rest of this is necessary because it's kind of just explaining who Astro Boy is. Definitely worth a look if you are looking for some quality. It's a little older anime. The Astro Boy series is great. I think there is an English dub version. I don't know if there is a sub version, though. So there is that. Northman director Robert Eggers is sick of cinema's modern, tiresome, lame commercial culture. Amen, sir. 10 fantastic pro-life movies you can watch right now. Blah, blah, blah. Capitalizing on the things that happened this morning. Yeah, that's written today. Mobile Suit Gundam, The Witch from Mercury reveals first synopsis. Oh, let's check this out. Mobile Suit Gundam, always good anime as well. Cast of characters and official release date. Bandai Namco's next mainline entry into the grandfather of all mecha franchises, Mobile Suit Gundam, The Witch from Mercury, recently unveiled. We talked about this when it was originally announced, so this is a great follow-up. Recently unveiled a bevy of new information for excited fans, including the series' first synopsis, overview of its principal cast of characters, and perhaps most excitingly, the official release date. Tidal Wave of New Info made its way to public eyes on June 17th, courtesy of a massive update to the series' official webpage. Beginning with the synopsis, Bandai Namco has revealed that the series will apparently take place in the 122nd year. 122th? Yo, talk about... If you're going to be critical of other editors, man, your editors better be much better than this. Just saying, calling it out. The 122nd year of the brand new AS Ad Stella timeline, a time wherein, quote, a multitude of corporations have entered space and built a huge economic system, unquote. Noting that the story begins when a lone girl from the remote planet Mercury transfers to the Estikasha School of Technology, run by the Benerit Group, which dominates the mobile suit industry. Production team then introduced the girl as series redhead main protagonist Suleta Mercury, who, with a scarlet light burning in her pure heart, walks step by step through a new world. That's very, very flowery language. I dig it. Synopsis also revealed the name of the series redhead main protagonist. You just said that. Let's talk about redundancy, shall we, editors at Bounding Into Comics? As expanded upon by her official bio, the Suleta is, quote, a second-year student in the piloting department who transferred to the school from Mercury. Described as timid and somewhat lacking in communication skills, Suleta will pilot the previously revealed and main character color scheme-bearing Gundam Ariel. That looks great. I dig it. Open image in new tab. Let's take a closer look at this, shall we? Where's my size? Size it up. 204. Oops, crap. Size it up. Let's take a look at this. 240%. Okay. That looks so cool. I really dig the mobile suit stuff too. Not the biggest, like I don't follow it as fervently as a lot of anime nerds do. Just because there's so much anime that, like, I feel like I get lost really easily. God, that looks so cool, though. Those of you listening in post on the audio are totally missing out, because that looks cool. All right, sorry, distracted. alongside Suleta, Bandai Namco also introduced a number of her Estikasha school classmates. First up is Marine Rembrandt, quote, an active and academically distinguished second-year student in the management strategy department who is the only daughter of Delling Rembrandt, the president of Benerit Group and chairman of the school's board, unquote. Unsurprisingly, given the pressure, Marine has a strong rebellious feeling towards her father. She's in the management strategy department rather than the piloting department. Marine is the only one of the five revealed characters to not have her own signature mobile suit. Makes sense. Then there's Ghoul Jitruk, an heir to Jitruk Heavy Machinery, one of the group's three branches, and a third-year student in the piloting department. Though he holds a rough temperament and is quick to anger. The pink-haired youth is also known as Ace Pilot of Jatruk House, moniker and reputation that has given him absolute confidence in his own skills. He rolls in a kind of a royal purple suit. Gru pilots a beetle-themed Ghouls Delanza, a specification which indicates his mobile suit may have undergone a high degree of customization. Let's take a look at this guy too. Open image in new tab. That's cool. Zoom. Zoom, 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 zoom. No, I was saying for rape and incest issues. Very beetle-like. I dig it. And then next up is Elan Saris, the top pilot backed by Pale Technologies, one of the group's three branches. Of course, that's just like the last one. Third year student in the piloting department, Elan is taciturn and solitary person who doesn't open his heart to anyone in school. He is an interest to select. So romantic interest, it would appear. This is his Gundam. Sleek rifle wielding Gundam Ferocht. Very sleek looking suit. Very, very aerodynamic, it would seem. That's cool. I really like the design of those. And then we have Shadiq Zanelli, an adopted child of the CEO of Grassley Defense Systems, one of the group's three branches. Third year student in the piloting department who leads Grassley House. Smooth-talking ladies man with carefree manners, Shadiq, though still a student, has shown his skill in business too, as he is a candidate for the next generation executive. In his suit, Ghoul and Elon, Shadiq controls one of his own unique mobile suit, is the case apparently Regal Michaelis. Look at the gun on that arm. That's huge. It's like a third or a quarter even of this entire suit is gun. And then there's the new teaser. Cool. Dig it, dig it, dig it. Yeah, it looks super cool. Okay. Netflix fires hundreds of employees in light of slower revenue growth. No kidding. Lightyear director confirms was not a part of development. Don't care. Ruby. Meh. Rent a Girlfriend season 2. That's funny. Activision Blizzard claim internal and external investigations found no evidence of company-wide harassment issues. I mean, I'm not necessarily surprised, but I don't know if I necessarily buy that either, because they obviously did have an issue because there were a number of accusations thrown around. So there's at least that to deal with. So for them to say no company-wide, I guess, is the specific part, because like, yeah, not every man that works at that company had harassment allegations thrown at them. So there's that, but it seemed to be pretty rampant. Flash, star Ezra Miller offering haven to women, to a woman and her three children in Vermont farm. Oh boy. Disney employees furious over company's delayed move to Florida. People were pissed. Don't care. Chris Hemsworth on whether his Hulk Hogan biopic is still happening. Maybe. All right, let's check into that because we haven't heard anything about this one for a little while. Set to play the Mortal One himself, Thor: Love and Thunder star Chris Hemsworth recently gave an update on previously announced Hulk Hogan biopic, and he wasn't favorable for the nascent movie. What? That doesn't make any sense. Emmy-winning sports and entertainment interviewer Chris Van Vliet. Hemsworth shared the film currently has made all of these typos has gained little traction due to both his and assigned director Todd Phillips' attentions being focused on other things. Yeah, that makes sense. Todd Phillips is doing Joker 2, as it says right here. So all of those training pictures that we saw of Hemsworth were probably more for Thor and less for Hulk Hogan, which makes sense. Oof, look at the razor line cut that from his head, because that's how that works. I forgot it was Todd Phillips that was directing that, so I guess we didn't necessarily have to look into that because we already know what's going on. All right, and now we're back into things that are... we are getting close to the first hour, so let's go to... see if we can find that link again for the top tracks this week. Where is it? Right there. Ooh, and it's been updated this week. Super exciting. Behemoth. We talked about that song. This is Survival Denied. Get the Shot. I've never heard of these guys, but the video looks interesting. Hardcore something something. WW. I don't know what WW is. Freezing Quebec winters offer good impetus for creating the aggro. Again, typos. Come on, guys. Aggro hardcore, it seems. Get the Shot led a solid charge the last few years, blasting it up at international festivals and their parent, patented, maybe? Combo of grindy thrash hardcore riffage and solid Obituary Cannibal Corpse influence. Munchin. So, Survival Denied is a track we're going to have to definitely look into between now and the next episode. Some more black metal, it looks like. Bakor Killish. Cryptic Hatred. From the new Throes of Death from the Dreamed Nihilism on Void Hanger label, the mainly solo project of Italy's Andre Bruzone harks back to some, black metal stuff. All right, whatever. White Ward, False Light. Cronus is the track. False Light is the record. Another band I haven't heard of. This is weird. Again, not the biggest on the black metal, so that makes sense. But recently heard on Horrocks by the Wax I Rule program. Horrocks's by this Wax I Rule. I can see an initial appeal from Mr. H. It implements some saxophones. What? UK bred, this tone intros with some moody post-rock guitar figures. Ooh, I like post-rock. Oh, post-metal anyway. Figures before clicking into full melodic black metal mode. Black metal with saxophones? What? Grace and poise design, elegant, rich instrumentation and compositional attention, yet still froths over the rim with anarchic fury. Behemoth off to war. We talked about this in the most recent episode. Manticore, Empty Eyes, Hollow Temple. Blackened Death. All of the the black and the death and not so much with the regular old metal, huh? Black Dahlia Murder. Hey, let's check this out. From 2 days ago. Trevor Strand. Still crazy. Dahlia Murder launches t-shirt for funeral experiences and charity. The world is still reeling from the sudden and tragic loss of Black Dahlia Murder vocalist Trevor Strand. Earlier this year, Black Dahlia Murder has now teamed up with illustrator Mark Riddick, photographer Nathaniel Shannon, and spearhead illustration for new memorial shirt whose proceeds will go directly to both funeral expenses and the benefit of Common Ground Resource and Crisis Center. Link here for the shirt. That's crazy. That's cool that they did that. But still, just a weird situation right there. What else is trending on metal injection? I don't think there's a whole lot. I think we might cut it just a couple minutes short this week for the news portion. I should say, before we do cut it short, couple of things. First off, this will be the last live episode. I had my scheduling a little mixed up. This will be the last live episode before next month. And next month I am taking, like I said, about 2.5-3 weeks off because we are going on a little bit of a road trip. So that road trip means that I will not be able to do regular episodes at all. We'll be doing some short form content and all that, like we talked about in the last regular episode. So there will still be things happening on both the Clips channel and the regular channel. So you can definitely still check them both out for more stuff. But there will not be news episodes. I'm sitting on a couple of interviews that I haven't posted from Starfest, and I will be probably doing a batch of reaction videos that will be spread out over the time off. So things will still be moving. So there is that. Also, this break is going to be slightly longer than normal. The break right now on the episode between the news and the gaming, because I haven't eaten my dinner. I made dinner and I haven't even eaten it yet. So I'm going to shove my face full of food real quick, and then we will be right back. Those of you that are ending your time here with the news, then I appreciate you for joining, and we will see you in the regular episode this week. This Wednesday and then the following Wednesday. And then I think that's all we have for regular episodes as well. Otherwise. Oh, yeah, I'm definitely. Thank you, Chris. It's super looking forward to the road trip, not going to lie. So we will be taking just about 10, 15 minutes so I can stuff my face and feed the dogs. And then we will be back to build some more stuff, finishing hopefully a little bit, getting closer anyway to finishing our lockout map in Splitgate, as well as getting my butt handed to me in some Halo and such. So we're taking a break. We'll see you guys in just a minute. Thank you for joining. Again, those of you who are ending it right now, tune in next time. Before we go, always, always remember that if it's generally nerdy, it is probably here.